This is Jay Sekulow. The president threatens a veto if he doesn't get border wall funding.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
President Trump now laying down the law, threatening to shut down the government unless he gets the money needed to build the wall.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Hopefully after the election, Democrats realize a secure border should not be a Republican thing. It shouldn't be a Democrat thing. It's just good for the country to actually secure our border. The House is there. We hope the Senate comes with us.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, welcome to the broadcast, everyone. The president's saying it. He's looking at a potential shutdown. It looks like House leadership is agreeing with him and some members of the United States Senate as well. What is the shutdown over? The shutdown's over the border wall and border security. Let's go right to Washington, D.C., to Than Bennett, our Director of Governmental Affairs, and get the latest. Than?
Well, really, Jay, I think it's hard to blame the president on this because he's going to have a constitutional duty to secure this border no matter what the Congress does. But it looks like there's a stalemate in Congress. You're right. The House leadership has committed to the $5 billion in wall funding that the president has asked for. But Senate Democrats, under the direction of Chuck Schumer, have said that 1.6 is the most that they will allow. Jay, look, if the president is presented with a bill that does not allow him to properly secure the border, I'm not sure he has much choice but to veto that because he has a duty to the American people to secure that border. That's what he campaigned on. And if the Congress, which has the power of the purse, does not give him the funds he needs to do that in advance of that December 7th shutdown, I'm not sure what option he has left but to secure the border. And Jay, I will tell you this. I will make a prediction. If it comes to that, the American people are going to stand behind the president because they want that border secured. They're tired of these games.
The president said in an interview with Politico yesterday that he would be totally willing to shut down the government over the border wall funding if Democrats don't budge. Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, this is a very definitive statement by the president. We've heard the idea. He's kind of hinted at the idea that, hey, if I don't get this funding, shutdown is on the table. Now he's definitively said to the media, if we do not receive the funding, I am willing to do the shutdown. Now, does that still allow room for negotiation? Yes. He's not saying I'm going to shut. You don't go announce preemptively you're going to shut down the government. You have to look at all the factors, see what develops this week. But I think our question is to our audience, because shutdowns can backfire. So to our audience today, will you do as Than said? Are you going to be standing with the president if he decides to shut down the government next week over the issue of border security and funding the wall? Will you stand with the president? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. I want to hear from government employees who may support the president but get concerned with these shutdowns. Yep. That can impact them as well. Give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. Are you willing to take a stand on this single issue of border security and specifically building the wall with $5 billion so it stays on track to
which
build 800 miles?
Less than one-tenth of what, as Harry Hutchinson said yesterday, is less than one-tenth of 1% of our budget. In fact, you could do the whole wall for $25 billion, and that would be basically about 1.2 or 1.3%. I think it was less than
less than one-half of 1% to fund the entire wall for $25
billion. Less than one-half of 1%.
Precisely.
Wow, there you go. And it was less than one-tenth of 1% for the allocation this year. So are the Democrats going to shut down the government, Harry, over that kind of allocation? Or are they trying to make this, you know, a political stand?
Although we've got the issue going on. Logically, they shouldn't shut down the government for that amount of money. But politically, they have a base to curry favor with. And it's far from clear that the Democrats' interest coincides with the American interest. And I think that's the essential problem.
All right, so here's the real question I think that we have to analyze here, and I think this is the point of reference. We've got a real problem on the southern border. Now, I said our policy yesterday, and I'll say it again. We are for a pathway to citizenship. We're in favor of for those that are here under DACA to be recognized. And again, the pathway to citizenship, you've got to go through all kinds of clearances to get citizenship, but we think that's fine. Get individuals, taxpaying citizens. We think that is part of the immigration reform that's necessary. We're not deporting 12 to 20 million people. That's absurd. Here's the other part. Secure the border. I think that's a fair trade, by the way, if you're in the art of politics here. That's what our position is, but I actually, Than, I think that's the right position.
Yeah, it's a real solution. And look, Jay, bottom line is if you're not going to secure the border through a Homeland Security bill, then why are you passing that bill in the first place? If that's not in there, Jay, it's not worth a whole lot.
So here's what I think we do. We fight back and we discuss this, and we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110 in just a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
The president says, I don't do anything just for political gain, and that he's willing to shut down the government over border wall funding if Democrats don't budge. We're asking you for your opinion on this. Let's go. We're going to take a call right here out of the top on this. I think it's important to get your – we want to get your opinion on this and let folks know what you're thinking. Also, I will tell you this, that we do have a situation where the Senate – and let's talk about that for a moment. So where is the House and Senate on this, Stan?
So the House has passed a Department of Homeland Security appropriations bill that includes the full $5 billion for fiscal year 2019 that the president requested. The Senate reached what was sort of a bipartisan compromise to get that bill out of the Senate that includes about $1.6 billion. So they're about $3.4 billion apart, Jay, and they have to come to an agreement on essentially that number before December 7th, which is next Friday. If they don't, there will be a partial government shutdown. But, Jay, again, Jordan went through this during the break, but it's important, I think, for our listeners to hear this. About 75% of the government is already fully funded for all of next year. It's already off the table. So if people start hearing about a government shutdown, the worst case scenario is that non-essential employees at about 25% of federal government agencies would temporarily not report to work. Of course, the essential ones still will. And Jordan also pointed this out, but there's another appropriation bill that would fully fund another four agencies that could move on its own without the Department of Homeland Security bill. So, Jay, we might get to a number as high as about 90% of the federal government funded, fully funded through all of next year, even before the border wall crisis is addressed. And I would just say this one more time. If you don't get funding in a bill to secure the border at a time we have a crisis like this, well, then what's the point of a Department of Homeland Security appropriations bill in the first place? If the president doesn't get the tools he need, he should veto that bill, Jay.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about, again, what will ultimately amount to a 10% partial shutdown of the federal government. I mean, this is
not really a shutdown.
They're never
it's like a
non-essentials go home. And that does not include like the Border Patrol agents who are securing the border right now. That doesn't include our top leadership, the politically appointed officials at the State Department or Department of Justice. So again, I think that it just has to be made clear. Let's go right to the phones because we ask people, will you stand with the president? Shutdowns are controversial.
Yep.
However,
and
you
they can politically
them.
Backfire,
yes.
As Jordan says. Jordan said,
so
they
will
can
you stand
backfire.
With the president on shutting down the government over funding for the border wall?
Let's take a call.
Britt calling in from Nevada Online One. Britt, welcome to JSecio Live.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it. We will definitely stand with the president for shutting down the border. I'm calling from Las Vegas, and, you know, I see more and more, not down on, you know, where the hotels are on the strip, but in the neighborhoods, and I see a lot more people that I never used to see that aren't speaking English anymore. It's pervasive. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing or that's a judgment call. I'm just saying what I'm noticing here. And if we don't shut down the border, it's going to get to the point.
Well, we're not talking – look, the president's not talking about shutting down the border right now. I mean, he's threatened that if we need to. He's talking about shutting down the government if we don't get the border wall security. I mean, there's a difference there. Now, the border situation right now, I mean, what is the latest we have on the actual situation at the border?
Still thousands of people and more to come. Some have been dissuaded and are turning around, but not most. So there's still around 8,000 people or so. Between Tijuana and Mexicali, and supposedly more on the way. The idea here is that you want to be able to use the wall to shut down illegal border crossing. That's the idea. If you want to, what we're talking about is not shutting down the border. The idea would be so you would have the wall that shuts down illegal border crossing so that you can keep the border open and functioning for trade, for people who are going back and forth legally. So you actually build the wall to keep the border open. I mean, the truth is, you're just stopping illegal immigration. That's what you're shutting down. You're not shutting down an entire border. But we've got a lot of calls on this. People have been asked very directly, are you going to stand with the president over shutting down the government to get the funding for this border wall?
Let me ask this to Harry, this is our director of policy. So if it gets to the point where a bill gets on the president's desk, it does not have the border wall funding in it, what does the president do in your view?
Well, I think he should veto the bill because he has a constitutional duty to safeguard the United States sovereignty. And essentially what we are facing in Tijuana and Mexicali is a potential uncontrolled invasion of individuals who have shown that they are willing to throw rocks and bottles at Border Patrol officials. As DHS Secretary Nielsen has pointed out previously, violence was indeed predictable. Violence is indeed what we got, and it's the president's obligation to stop it. Now, it's beyond question that funding the wall will not deal with the temporary problem on the border. On the other hand, it will send a signal to future migrant caravans that if they come to the United States, we will be able to control the flow. And so I agree with Senator Rubio. We need to fund the entire wall. And it would be nice to have the entire $25 billion in the budget agreement. Failing that, however, let's fund the wall at least partially this year and complete the funding sequentially.
All right, let's go right to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Debbie calling in from Wisconsin online too. Debbie, welcome to JSecio Live. First, let me just ask you, Debbie, would you stand with the president if he shuts down the government over the funding?
Absolutely, 100%. I support the president.
Okay. So go ahead with your comment and question. Yeah.
So, you know, to me, this is so simple. When we talk about securing our borders, right? I secure my home every day when I leave. I lock my doors. I secure my vehicle, right? When I go into a store, businesses, you know, lock up their storefronts. I don't understand something as simple as securing our borders. Why people wouldn't want to do that? I don't get it.
Well, let me play for you what Senator Marco Rubio said and why we need to do this. Take a listen.
So if the wall is not built all 800 miles, if you don't have the entire system in place, none of it works. It's not one of those things where you can have half of it. Half of it is as good as none of it. And the purpose of a wall is not to keep people out per se, but to funnel the people that are allowed to come in to make sure they are entering through points of entry that we can monitor for everything from human trafficking to drugs and contraband.
Right.
So there you have it. I mean, I think you've got, so I guess that goes right back to Than Bennett. So we've got, obviously, our listeners are saying we support this move if necessary. You got Rubio's statement. Let's recast again kind of where Congress is going to be on this.
Well, Senator Rubio's statement is significant, Jay, because he has been a player on many of these comprehensive immigration negotiations in the past. And he's also a member of the United States Senate that has said they will not give the president $5 billion in fiscal year 2019 for this wall. So his statement is very significant, Jay. But I think it also underscores the point that the caller was making. We are a nation of immigrants. We want to be welcoming. But, Jay, we cannot do that unless we have control over the border. So you ask where Congress is. The United States Senate at this point does not have the votes it needs to send the president his full request. And we are entering a phase where there is a showdown coming on December 7th. The president will have to decide whether or not he will negotiate with the United States Senate, who at this point has not given him his request.
But, you know, I will tell you this, and Jordan said this, I'm going to let him expand on this. Partial shutdowns are not without risk. I mean, I think we have to be clear on that. A partial shutdown of the government is not without political risk.
Yeah, I mean, now we are past Election Day, and we should mention, too, that in Mississippi, the Republican candidate, Cindy Hyde-Smith, she won. She was already the senator, appointed senator to fill a vacancy. Now she's been elected Senate after the runoff there. And so that takes Republicans to 53 seats in the U.S. Senate come next term. So we're past we're not really close to an election. So I don't think this shutdown would have as much of an impact as, let's say, if it was happening 2 months ago, right before the midterms. But certainly it will be brought up in 2020. This is how many times the president shut down the government. He was willing to shut down the government to build a wall to keep the Latinos out. I mean, that's the message that will be to Hispanic voters. I mean, people ask, why did Democrats not support this? They believe if you allow this kind of illegal immigration flow to come over, and they're the ones who support it, that ultimately these people will become citizens only by their laws, by the way. That's why they won't do it with Republican presidents. And then they'll vote for Democrat.
Of course, my theory is, if you're a Republican, I think George Bush tried to do this.
Oh, really?
Get comprehensive immigration reform done under your watch. And by nature, the Hispanic community tends to be more conservative.
Right.
And I think if you were looking at it just through the pure politics of it, it would make sense. But Harry, how do you see it?
I see it exactly the same way, and I think thoughtful Democrats may see it the same way. So it's very possible that the Democrats do not want to settle this issue. Instead, they want to run on this issue in the next election and in the following election, and to gin up a debate suggesting that the Republicans are heartless, that they are cruel, that they are tossing tear gas at women and children, when that is not the case, and when it's equally true that President Obama recurrently, consistently lobbed tear gas at individuals who are trying to come into the United States illegally.
All right, we're going to take your calls. You want to tell? Let me say a huge thank you. Yesterday, our donor response to the 2J matching day was incredible, and we want to keep that momentum going. Your support from the ACLJ makes a huge difference. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we're going to get a matching gift for. That's at aclj.org, aclj.org. So if you donate $20, we get $40 if someone else matches your gift. Let me say this also. If you want to talk to us, lines are jammed. We'll try to clear some up. 800-684-3110.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
A looming government shutdown, or at least the possibility of a looming government shutdown, seems to be at play right now in Washington, D.C. The issue there is, of course, the border wall funding. As I said, our position has been very clear. We believe that the DACA, individuals here under DACA, should be protected. We believe that there should be a pathway to citizenship. That's going to take time. That will take background checks. That will take paying taxes. It'll take moving forward. It took my grandfather 14 years. I think you're not going to self-deport 20 million people. I think we're kidding ourselves there. But I also think we need border security, and I think that is the right political compromise. I'm sure I'll get some flack from the right. I'm sure I'll get some flack from the left, but that's actually the position that we advocate here. We think that's the right position. We think it's also the right position politically. Having said that, we've got a lot of calls coming in, so we're going to try to keep going to it. People are engaging heavily on this issue. Jordan, let's go ahead and take a call.
Yeah, let's go to Doug calling from Wisconsin on line 6. Doug, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hello. My wife immigrated legally almost 10 years ago from the Philippines. There was a great deal of cost, time, and effort put into her coming here legally. I have empathy for DACA, and I could see them maybe getting permanent residency, but I would not be in favor of citizenship for DACA, especially when very likely they've broken laws.
The DACA recipients came here as kids.
Can't have broken laws.
So they did not break laws.
And so if their only crime was that they were brought here illegally as minors, that can be the only crime they committed. If they were criminals, they get thrown out of the process.
Right.
That's the same with the pathway to citizenship for the 11 to 20 million people who are already
exactly.
here. They have criminal records, felonies or even a multiple misdemeanors.
That's it. You're not going
to
qualify.
They're out and deported.
Yeah. So I think that's why. So I understand what you're saying, but let's get an understanding of the terms when we talk about DACA. Harry, from a policy perspective here, there needs to be a solution. We do need comprehensive immigration reform. I think if we you can't ignore the wall and you can't ignore comprehensive immigration reform.
I think that's correct. I also think that your analysis applies to virtually every rational person in the United States. However, there's this political reality.
Yeah, which is not so rational sometimes.
Which prevents a rational discourse on many issues that would actually advance policies that would provide economic advancement for the entire country. Bringing people out of the shadows, making sure that everyone who is here is paying taxes makes a lot of sense, that they are contributing to the Social Security Fund. That makes a lot of sense. But we still have this debate, which goes back 15, 20, 30, 40 years. George Bush tried immigration reform without success.
Blocked by Harry Reid.
President Obama promised immigration reform.
Never brought it to the floor.
Never brought it to the floor when the Democrats had a supermajority in the Senate. And so the problem is with us, but we may have to engage in very stringent measures, including A, threatening a government shutdown, and B, a partial shutdown to move the ball forward. And so I favor comprehensive immigration reform along with border security. And it strikes me that it's impossible to do one without the other. However, the politicians in Washington fail to see that, and I can't completely explain it. Perhaps Than can explain it better than I can.
Can you explain that any better, Than? He's shaking his head. No, I'm seeing on the monitor. Go ahead.
No, I cannot. I mean, look, I'll expound just a little bit here. You're not going to get a solution on DACA or any of the others illegally present unless you secure the border. And the reason is very simple. On the Democrat side of the aisle, it's exactly what Jordan said. They do not want a solution to this. They want to continually run on it. On the Republican side of the aisle, they are willing to negotiate, Jay, but you're not going to get a permanent solution on DACA unless the border is first secure. And that requires cooperation from Democrats. So until one of those impasses is moved, you're not going to get a solution. But to Harry's question, I don't think anybody outside the Beltway can explain it, Jay.
Yep. All right, let's go ahead and take another phone call. 1-800-684-3110.
Linda's calling in from Los Angeles, California, on line 5. Linda, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you.
Hey.
Very nice. I'm a supporter of the show. I'm very much in favor of President Trump taking the initiative that he needs to resolve the problem. I think the situation at the border is not a safe situation. It has a lot of potential dangers involved in it. And I think that the issue about the wall is the crux of the matter. You know, if you don't establish the funding for the wall, then you can't get the support for DACA. You can't get the support for immigration reform. And we're at a stalemate.
So well, I think this is why the art of political compromise is important here. And that's why you take the DACA issue off the table, in a sense, by working that out. You take the pathway to citizen off the table for the 20 million people that would qualify under preconditions on what those qualifications would be. And you get border wall security. We're not the only people talking about this, by the way, on the border wall side. You got Senator Ron Johnson also weighing in from Wisconsin. Here's what he said.
The president certainly deserves to have better barriers funded. $5 billion is probably the right figure at this point in time. But, you know, we have to recognize the fact that what we're seeing at the border right now is just a culmination of bad policy, loopholes, bad legal precedent that is incentivizing and rewarding people to come in this country illegally.
There you have it. I mean, so if you want to stop, you get the border security in there, you get the comprehensive immigration reform, I think you really move the needle forward. But the question is there political will on both sides to do it?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the idea is, can you actually get enough Democrats, a handful of Democrats, to push this over the edge? Because they're being told, if we do this, we're not going to get, you know, we're not going to get credit for the immigration reform. We're going to get blamed for building the wall. So playing politics. But I think, you know, at this point in time, we're talking about $5 billion out of the $25 billion so that the wall building can remain on track. This does not build the entire wall. It just makes sure that the building remains on track for the 800 miles we're concerned about.
Yeah, I think that's exactly correct. All right, let's go. Yeah, let's take a call. We got 2 minutes. Let's take another call.
Sure. Cheryl is also calling from California on line 3. Cheryl, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Cheryl. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I live in Northern California, and I'm an Air Force brat. My dad was in SAC, and we traveled.
Yep.
And I am all for President Trump. I support him. My sister does, too. What I'm seeing here in California is that our government here in California, the state and whatever, they're thinking that we are their cash cows. I'm a senior. I'm on Social Security. I'm disabled. Can't work. Limited food stamps. I just get like $40 of food stamps. Yet I'm seeing these illegals coming in, and California is giving them food stamps, giving them housing, giving them free medical.
This is the decision the state of California has made. Now, here's what I say to that. Let's get those that are here illegally that are working into the taxpaying system. So it alleviates some of the burden off of you, and it helps you with what needs you might have because of your disability. And get these people paying taxes. And I think it's a win-win for everybody. I do not know if the political will is there to do it. We're going to find that out. We're going to talk more about that in the second half of the broadcast. We certainly have you. Our audience is engaged, that's for sure. We're going to take your calls at 800-684-3110. We want to know what you support here. A government shutdown could be looming. 1-800-684-3110. We'll get back into that. We'll also take your calls again at 800-684-3110. Jordan's going to tell you about our matching challenge campaign. We had a big day yesterday, which puts us on track for a big month with your continued support in these last few days.
Yeah, that's right. Yesterday with Giving Tuesday. But again, you can continue to take part in the matching challenge where anything you're able to donate is doubled for the American Center for Law and Justice. That's at aclj.org. You're charged $10. Someone matches that $10. So, and then it becomes $20 to ACLJ. Be part of the matching challenge online, aclj.org. Donate.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Hopefully after the election, Democrats realize a secure border should not be a Republican thing. It shouldn't be a Democrat thing. It's just good for the country to actually secure our border. The House is there. We hope the Senate comes with us.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, the president says it's not a political issue for him. It's not for political gain, but if we don't get the ball, the border security in the funding bill, he's going to veto it. And there's ramifications for that. I want to go again right to Washington, D.C., and Than, get the latest on where we are on this.
Well, it's got to be above politics. I mean, just look down at the border. It's a crisis. And yet, even though we have a crisis at the border, there's more play in politics in Washington, D.C. Where we are at this very moment, Jay, the bill to fund the Department of Homeland Security, the appropriations bill, has $5 billion, which is what the president asked for in its version. The Senate version only has $1.6 billion. They have to come to an agreement between now and December 7th and send the president a bill to fund the whole agency, as well as a couple of other agencies, with a number that is included. And the president has said, if you do not give me the funding to secure the border, to address the crisis that is taking place right now, I will veto it and send it back to you. Jay, there is almost no chance that a chamber would have the votes to override a presidential veto. So the question again is, will policy win out and will we secure the border, or will politics win out? And at this point, about 10 days from that partial shutdown, we don't yet know the answer.
All right, we are taking your calls on all of this. We're gonna do something we don't normally do in the first segment. Let's go ahead and take a call, Jordan.
Yeah, Shirley calling from Florida on line one. Shirley, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Shirley.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
Yes, I support the president in the shutdown and building the wall. I just wanted to say this. Look, not all Hispanics support the behavior of the caravan.
Right.
Not all of them. Don't think that, you know, Hispanics for being Hispanics, they will not support. No, there are many, and I read, I'm bilingual, and I read all the comments with the Spanish news, and a lot of people are very, very disgusted of what's going on with their behavior. So many of them do want the wall up.
I totally agree, Shirley. I think that the Democrats, the left, and a lot of Hispanic media outlets who kind of tend to go to the left, the Jorge Ramoses of the world, kind of spin this view as that all Hispanics, all Latin Americans believe this. And the truth is that the Mexicans are very upset about these other Central Americans who've come in from Honduras and other countries and caused chaos in their country and made chaos throughout their southern border in Mexico, all the way up to the border with the United States. So they've caused chaos from southern Mexico all the way to Tijuana and Mexicali. I mean, this is our issues, where it's not like all Hispanics say we want to illegally immigrate to the U.S. and that should be legal. And in fact, it does a disservice to the very large and growing Hispanic community here in the United States, which contributes a lot to our society and has been for many, many years. Whether it's the Puerto Rican community, the Cuban community, again, the Mexican community in the Southwest, that have been contributing for many, many years, and you don't want everyone being treated like they're somehow illegal, and I think they understand that.
Yep.
The idea is that if you treat all Hispanics this way, and a lot of the politicians tend to do that, they try to put them all in a box.
Everything's monolithic, which it's clearly, Harry. It's not a situation where it's monolithic.
Very much upsets Hispanic people.
Absolutely. So we live in an era in which people preach diversity on one hand, but then they look at particular ethnic groups, and then they preach that they are monolithic in their perspective, that everyone shares the same perspective. And I think it's very important to look closely in depth at how people really feel within the Hispanic community, which ranges from Peru to Guatemala to El Salvador to Mexico, etc.
All right, we're going to come back. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. This is certainly sparking a lot of discussion, which is great. So we'll do that at 800-684-3110. Let me also encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. Jordan's going to let you know how the matching challenge works and why you should participate.
Yeah, the matching challenge, whatever you're able to donate is doubled. So if you are able to donate $25 today, that's what you'll be charged on your credit card at ACLJ.org. Someone will match that. We have donors ready to match that, so it becomes $50 to the ACLJ. It's a great way to maximize your support, financial support to the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
I'm going to go for a kind of a quick around the horn here. I'll start with Than. Shutdown or no shutdown, what do you think happens?
I think it's more likely than not to shut down because I think the president is serious about it, and I think it'll take a shutdown to convince Congress that he is.
Professor Hutchinson.
65% chance that there will indeed be a partial government shutdown.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's very high. I think at this point where we have not seen the movement yet. Now, this we're still pretty far out. I mean, this is we're talking about next Friday. So a lot can happen. I think if you get to the funding where so 75% of the government's already funded. If you add that other minibus of agriculture, financial services, so Social Security checks go out, things that are pretty key to people. Yep. Interior Transportation HUD gets funded, so that's another 15% of the government. So if you've got 90% of the federal government already funded before this, you're talking about a 10% partial shutdown. I say he doesn't get the $5 billion. He's at 80% to shut down the government. I mean, I think so, 80 to 100%, I believe he'll shut it down. He's at this small of margins of the government being shut down.
If the matter is not resolved, I believe the president will shut it down.
Yeah.
If the matter is not resolved. Now, resolved is...
Learn to take the president at his own words. When he says this stuff, he stands by.
He's not kidding.
He's allowed room here for negotiation. I mean, I think if they get $4.5 billion, he might sign it. You know, I mean, but you know what I'm talking about.
But if that's ridiculous. I mean, yes.
The 1.6 is not going to be enough.
All right, let's see what happens. No, it's certainly not. So that's my prediction. All right, we're going to go right back to the phones. 800-684-3110. Who's next?
Let's go to Shelley in Alabama on line 4. Shelley, welcome to JSecu Live.
Hey, Shelley, go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Let me ask you this. Okay, we are a country of we the people. I don't understand why we are not raising money for the wall. If we did a GoFundMe, we could put a $100 million check on the president's desk tomorrow. I don't understand why we are not.
Let me tell you something, though. Shelley, you are funding the wall. So this is the reality. You are funding it because you are paying taxes to our government. So you are funding it. We are funding it. And you need to understand that in the context of what we're talking about here with the $25 billion overall, what that really means in the context of our budget. So Professor Hutchison broke that down yesterday. I'm going to break it down again. First of all, if there's a $5 billion allocation in this budget going forward for next year, what does that represent of the budget?
1/8 of 1% of the budget.
Okay.
So that is less than 1%. And in addition, if we fund the entire wall over a five-year period, that amounts to less than 1/2 of 1% of the federal budget for 2019. So clearly, this amount, while consequential, is not a stunning amount of money.
So what if it's $25 billion? What if they said $25 billion? What does it represent?
It represents less than 1/2 of 1% of the entire budget.
So the American people are funding this one way or another.
Absolutely.
So we don't have to do a GoFundMe.
With respect to the caller's call, if it's public land, you would have to go through an appropriation process with respect to spending the money, even if the money came in from individual citizens as their voluntary contribution to the U.S. government.
Yeah, so you are making – so don't start a GoFundMe is what I would say right now. I wonder if people have. Will? We'll ask our director to look. All right, let's take another call.
Yeah, right back to the phones. Oh, we go. Linda calling from Massachusetts online too. Linda, welcome to JSEC Live.
Hey, Linda, go ahead.
Hi, everybody. Really quick, I just wanted to throw in something. Maybe I'm being simple about this, but one thing I haven't heard anybody mention is quota. Have we not hit our quota in allowing people into this country?
It depends on the segment. There's not an asylum quota per se.
Obviously it's not an illegal immigration quota.
It's not like issues here. I mean, no, I think that's what's clear.
That's real immigration. You're talking about legal immigration, a totally different issue. And even the pathway to citizenship for those who came here illegally would be different than legal immigration. Quotas and systems like that are people who are going through the real legal process. Those can be changed yearly. They are tinkered with depending on the needs of the United States, depending on crises maybe around the world. So maybe asylum has to go up, refugees have to go up. So you take a few in or a few less people. But that is all within the legislative process. And then a lot of that then has been given over to the executive branch to decide.
Well, it has, and I want people to pay very close attention to what Jordan just said, because there are all sorts of calls to lift the levels of certain immigration visas or immigration categories that are offered legislatively. Jordan, that would happen if the border was secured. If we had a control on the amount of illegal crossing, the number of people who would be able to enter legally, I guarantee you that would raise in all sorts of different categories.
So, Than, let me ask you this question. Let's go through, how does this actually look as the budget process moves forward? How does this come to a head on December 7th?
So usually, Jay, there are 12 appropriation bills that get moved. Five of them have already been enacted into law, passed out of Congress, signed by the president. There are another seven remaining, but they're some of the smaller bills. For example, the Department of Defense is already funded, so that's a huge section of the government. You've got about a quarter of it left represented in those seven bills, and they have to come to an agreement between the House and Senate with a presidential signature by December 7th, or else the agencies inside those bills, anybody that's non-essential in those agencies would not report to work on the next day, December 8th. So they have to come to an agreement before then, otherwise it would happen. Jay, the one other thing that they could do, they could pass a short-term CR if they're close to an agreement. They could pass a continuing resolution and extend that deadline for a few more days. But as it stands right now, the deadline is midnight on December 7th, and a bill would require the president's signature to avoid that partial shutdown.
By the way, we have looked to see if people have started a GoFundMe for the border wall, and there's a lot of them have been started, but none of them have more than $200 given. Folks, you are paying for border security, and you're paying for no border security too. Believe me, either way, you're paying for it. That's just the way that this situation works. All right, we're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. Let's grab another call here.
Brent in Texas on line 5. Brent, welcome to JSEC Live.
Hi, Brent.
How you doing, Jay?
Good.
I fully support the president on securing the borders. I think we're stuck against a bunch of political hacks that their true motives is the end game is it's part of the one world government, and they're continually trying to bring in havoc into our country. They're trying, you know, it's going to make a heavier burden on the taxpayers trying to support these people that come
well,
in.
Well, that's why you want to have a pathway to citizenship. I'm not going to get into whether it's a one world government, but I will get into the reality here. And here's what the reality is. We have people that are here illegally, probably upwards of 20 million, somewhere between 12 and 20 million people. If we could find out who those people are, not deport them unless they've committed criminal acts, but instead willing to pay taxes, move forward to a pathway to citizenship, may take years and years and years to get it. It would. That is the way you get the taxpayers of the United States, in a sense, reimbursed. You get people out of the shadows. You handle the DACA situation, and you move the situation forward.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, I think that that's the comprehensive way to do this. The question is, can you find any Democrats in the Senate willing to go along with it? Than that's the key, is you got to get to 60 to get this legislation through. Can you find, I mean, it's tough for me right now to count the Democrats who'd be willing to go for it even with these comprehensive plan. I mean, it's just tough.
Yeah.
I don't think you can get there until the president really pushes the issue, Jordan. And look, it's certainly on the Democrat side, but there's also a handful of Republicans. I'm not sure you can get a vote for that because they're, quite frankly, on this issue, they're voting more like Democrats, just saying it like it is. However, here's the political dynamic that I think maybe does create a chance. The Democrats are essentially in control of the House of Representatives right now. Yes, the Republicans still are for two more weeks, but the political consequences for what happens are going to be in the lap of Democrats in the House of Representatives in about 2 weeks. That maybe is the dynamic that would force some Senate Democrats to come along.
Yeah, let's go ahead and take one more call here before the break.
Yeah, Rosie called in from California on line six. Rosie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I actually, due to my work, I'm extremely 100% behind our president. I've been having to travel back and forth from Mexico to California due to my job, and I've had time to talk to some of these people. They're not even called to come to America for any reason other than money.
Well, I think the people that are in the caravan, for the most part, have been completely misinformed. I think that's exactly what's happened here. They were sold a bill of goods by whatever this group is out of California that got them organized, and they were told you're going to come in here, and the United States has no borders, and you're going to walk in, and you're going to become a citizen of the United States. They were sold a scenario that doesn't exist. Most of these people, NBC News reported the other day, are not asylum seekers. We have that bite? Let's play that bite.
From what we've seen, the majority are actually men, and some of these men have not articulated that need for asylum. Instead, they have talked about, you know, going to the United States for a better life and to find work.
Okay, so there you have it.
So People Without Borders has essentially engaged in fraud, and it's very possible that many of these migrants are without legal recourse. They were told that that jobs were available, that they would be welcomed with open arms. And it turns out they're not even eligible for asylum. We know that. The Secretary of Homeland Security has confirmed that. Yet they are pelting Border Patrol agents. And I hope we can keep them out.
All right. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We cleared through a lot of calls so we can take your calls in this last segment. This last segment, we'll talk about any topic you want. So 1-800-684-3110. And don't forget the matching challenge campaign at the ACLJ.
That's right. It's a great time to support the work of the ACLJ. Whatever you're able to donate, I'll give you another example. If you make a $50 donation, you're charged $50 on your credit card. We have a donor ready to match that $50. It becomes $100 for the American Center for Law and Justice. So I'm taking you on up from the $10 to the $25 to the $50 donation. That's at ACLJ.org. Donate today.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon, or Barnes & Noble. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right, welcome back. 1-800-684-3110. We go right to the phones. We're in our last segment of the broadcast. You can call us. We did get an interesting comment from Darlene on Facebook. Congress hasn't been doing its job for decades. They feed off the chaos. Fan?
Yep, that's true. That's true. honestly, Jay,
it's a great time, Fan, right, for them to like get a lot of extras when they push towards these shutdowns, right? So they start piling on all the extra spending they can. Correct.
You noticed that, huh? Yeah, they like to pass these bills to avoid a government shutdown for a couple of reasons. One, so when the government is shut down, the finger of blame doesn't get pointed at them. The other reason, Jordan, is because when you're at these deadlines and people are scrambling to pass a bill, that's a great time to get funding for things that would not survive the scrutiny of the regular process. I would say those are the two main reasons that a shutdown is so feared in Washington, D.C. A
couple new research centers post named offices. After the congressman or senator. Yep. I mean,
nothing wrong with a good post office.
I probably need more. I mean, if you talk to the president, he would like to figure that out. Yeah. All right, USPS.
I'm not going to. So let's take the next caller.
All right, let's go in order. In our final segment, we go in order. Mary calling from Florida on line one. Mary, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Mary.
Hi. Excuse me. Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Yep.
I am not politically savvy, and I'm traveling and I'm listening. To your program, and I'm just trying to understand how doing a partial shutdown of the government on these non-essential positions, which are people who will be losing their income during this time frame, how does that motivate Congress in any way? Because it's really no skin off their back.
Well, it's a wedge. It's a wedge to get the job done. In other words, the president says, you don't get this job done, we're going to shut the government down. Now, there's what Jordan said before, there's political risk with that, but that's the idea. It's a wedge to get the job done.
Yeah.
It's not political in that sense. It's a maneuver to get things resolved.
Right, that you eventually will get the resolution required, because remember, you got to reopen the government at some point. So you've got to come to some kind of a solution. So compromises are then made. It kind of forces a compromise. You'll see who is willing to hold out the longest over this issue. But the president, I mean, they could keep sending him budget after budget. He could keep saying no, no, no. And we're talking about the way this is set up. I mean, we use this term shutdown. It's so partial. We're talking about 10% of the government only, probably.
Right.
10%. And of that, only 10% is partially shut down, non-essentials. So most government employees, over 90% will be working normally, getting their normal paychecks. You'll be getting your Social Security checks. You know, that will all the government services will be provided. What we are talking about is Commerce, Justice Department, DHS, and state non-essential staff. People who don't have to be there. It poses no security risk to the government if they are not there. And yes, it will affect them. There's back pay and things like that come into issue as well. But ultimately, that's 10%. Is partially shut down over this issue.
But you think it could get there? I mean, why would they not just work this out?
Well, they should, but that has not been the history of these things. They have not typically they've basically depended on presidents backing down, Jay. That's the bottom line. And I would say this to the caller. I think the motivation for Congress is the fact that the American people have woken up to the idea that funding the government is really the primary role of Congress. And if we get to a place in a government shutdown and the two sides have not been willing to work together to address a crisis as clear as the one that we have on the border right now, the American people are going to realize that Congress is not doing their job. And it will be a political threat to not just Democrats, but also Republicans. I think that's so the motivation if you enter a shutdown.
Harry, what do you think? I mean, I think that's right.
Well, I think that is correct. I think with respect to funding the wall, one of the things that we should do affirmatively is we should quantify the economic benefits associated with funding the wall and compare that to the cost of funding the wall. And I also think
has anybody done that?
Not to my knowledge, but certainly that would be a
good project for Harry Hutchison, I think.
In the right direction.
Yeah, we should do that.
We often talk about opportunity costs with respect to we spend money on X and then we can't spend money on Y, but we also have to look at the benefits associated with a wall economically, in addition to the national security implications of building a wall. And I think clearly most Americans see the national security implications with respect to the attempt to storm the port of entry near San Diego over the weekend.
Harry, let me ask you this, because you mentioned this before, and the mayor of Tijuana said this, that the economic impact of this caravan is significant for both governments.
Absolutely. Both countries. So the failure to deal with this issue means that it imposes cost on both the Mexican government and the American government and the American people. And so long run, I think a wall would provide direct benefits to the Mexican economy as well as the American economy. We wouldn't face the prospect of border crossings that are shut down, blocking trucks that are moving cargo that is produced perhaps in Mexico, and that is creating jobs in Mexico. Instead, right now, you look at the situation, that's what could happen and probably should happen in order to protect national security. So building the wall, in my opinion, is in the long-run interest of both Mexico and the United States.
Yeah, Kathy calling from Florida, online 4. Kathy, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, how are you today?
Good.
All right. I love the president. I support him, what he's doing. But I have a question. If everybody's so worried about the people at the border coming over here, why doesn't the president get the wall funded? And why don't we go to those countries and get the Democrats to give us money if they're so worried about those people? And let's go down to their countries and help them there.
We do. You do. Believe me.
I mean, your taxpayer dollars go to foreign aid to these countries
in huge
numbers, and the corruption's a major issue. There's a new government coming in Honduras that's been very critical of these caravan organizers and have said, stay, we will help you, the government in Honduras. Why is the government in Honduras able to say we will help you? They have resources. Oftentimes, though, we're saying doling out money to these governments. I mean, yeah, the governments would love that. They're corrupt as can be. The money won't make it to the people. So that's why we need the America First idea. Take care of America first. And then make sure that we're spending wisely around the world.
Yep.
But I think President Trump wants to take care of America first. We've been too often just doling out money to the world. It's not solving the problem, is it? They're leaving Honduras and El Salvador spawned MS-13. You know, so with all the U.S. aid that flows in, it's causing problems in Mexico, which causes problems on our border with Mexico. It's not all Mexico's fault. This was not the time period, I remind people, when Mexico was putting pamphlets of how Mexicans could get across the border. This is not that issue. These are not Mexicans. These are other Central Americans coming from places trying to get over.
USAID reports $300 million to Guatemala alone in 2016.
Yeah.
All right, Don, very quickly. We got less than a minute. You're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Yep. Yeah, I think Professor Hutchison just touched on what my comment was, but, you know, they talk a lot about the one-time cost to build the wall, but we don't talk about the ongoing cost not to build the wall. And I don't even know how you calculate that, but it's, you know, it's far and away exceeds whatever the cost to build the wall. And I think if they talk a little more about how much that costs not to build it, might get more support for building it.
Well, I think that's a great comment, and you're absolutely right. We're going to take a look at that as an analysis. All right, that does it for the broadcast today. 1 hour, that sure went by quick. All right, we don't want you to forget, though, our matching challenge campaign. We're coming to the last critical days. Was it 3 days left? Yeah, 3 or 4 days left here, and we want to encourage you to help us make our goal. You could do that by going to ACLJ.org. Really quick, Jordan.
Yeah, ACLJ.org. Make your donation. It will be matched by another donor, so you will double your donation. ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.